the turning point of Megillas Esther is very, very clear. I mean, if you had to identify the one point in the story that you would name the entire holiday after, so you'd have a few leading candidates of what was the one point in the story that you would name the holiday after. You may want to choose the turning point of the story, because that's where everything turned around. What happened? What was the turning point of the story? Where Esther says, I don't really want to go to the king. It's very risky. I'm not going to do it, to walk in uninvited. It's dangerous. I mean, you know, I've done enough already. And Mordechai finally pulls her aside and listen. He says, listen, mi yodea im la'ez kazos higat l'malchus. Maybe it's because of this moment in time. This is why you're here. Maybe this is why God put you there. Now, and obviously, in hindsight, of course that's why she was there. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu put her in that position just for that moment so that she could save Klal Yisrael. But when you're living it sometimes, you don't see it so clearly. You don't realize that that's the time. So it's like one of the most ironic lines in the whole Megillah where Mordechai says, who knows? Maybe the reason God made you a queen of Persia is so that you could save Klal Yisrael. Of course that's why God made her the queen of Persia. But that's the turning point. So maybe we would name the holiday after a moment like that. That's the, or maybe the crescendo of the story from a visual standpoint, meaning where do you really finally see that, wow, this is turning out to be pretty good. So the visual that you have is Mordechai in the big day Malchus and Haman, like the filthy human being that he is, having to schlep Mordechai around. So from a visual perspective, that's like, That's the highlight of the story. It's like you feel so proud when you hear about that part of the Megillah where Mordechai is getting his due and Haman is getting to some extent his due. So if you think you want to name the Yom Tov after that part of the story, that would certainly have a lot of merit to such an argument. Or maybe the happy ending, where the Jews get to defend themselves on the day of Purim, and the Haman and his sons were all hanged. That's certainly a day and a moment in the Megillah that you would want to name the holiday after. But what's the holiday called? Purim. And what's a Pur? It's the way Haman decided which day to carry out his plan. Very minor detail of the entire story. And we call the holiday after this tiny little detail in the story. Not the crescendo of the story, not the turning point of the story, not the happy ending of the story. This little detail. Why would we call it Purim? Does it really make a difference if Haman arrived at the date through some sort of lottery, or through divining it from a sorceress, or doing a Gorl Hagra for all I care? What difference does it make how he chose the day? There are Chamesh Megillos. There are five Megillos, right? If you ask someone about the Megillah, the person will rarely ask you for clarification. Which Megillah do you mean? Say, oh, I'm going to buy him a Megillah for his bar mitzvah. My son's bar mitzvah is coming up. Some of the few families stripped and bought him a Megillah. So when they said, oh, we're going to buy your son a Megillah, I didn't have to say, Eicha or Koheles? Which Megillah do you mean when you say you're going to buy a Megillah? Like, it was pretty obvious. The Megillah! Everyone knows the Megillah. Megillah is Megillah's Esther. Why? Why do we automatically assume that Megillah refers to Megillah's Esther? In fact, Chazal, it's not just the way people talk. When Chazal formulated a bracha on the mitzvah of reading Megillah's Esther, what's the bracha? Al Mikra Megillah. The mitzvah is not to read a Megillah. The mitzvah is to read Megillas Esther. You know, you have to mitzvah if you read one of the other Megillas. There is no mitzvah to read any of the other Megillas. That's minag to read the other Megillas that we read. There's only one mitzvah. There's only one Megillah that there's a mitzvah to read, and that's Megillas Esther. So why is it Al-Mikra Megillah, the vague terminology of Megillah, and not Al-Mikra Megillas Esther? And a third question. There is a medrash in Bereishis about Rivka's original meeting with Yitzchak when she fell off of the donkey. She was so overwhelmed by the sight of this holy man that she was going to marry that she falls off. So the Medrash says, Umadua nafla me'al hagamal, camel, not a donkey. Umadua nafla me'al hagamal, ki derech hayotzin migan eden, sharagleyam lamala veroshem lamata, v'lachein v'tibol me'al hagamal. See, when you're on a camel, you're right side up, your feet are on the bottom and your head is on the top. But when you fall, you tip over. So your feet are up and your head is down. So the Medrash says, Well, in Gan Eden, everyone's walking around upside down on their heads. So because she was experiencing a Gan Eden moment, she had to be upside down. A strange medrash, no? In the spirit of an ahapachu, apparently we're told that Gan Eden is literally v'nahapachu. That everyone's turned around, everyone's turned upside down. So once again, I don't remember where I saw this Torah. I have a few guesses, but I don't remember where I saw this Torah. The stum of someone will email me this week also and tell me where I got this from. But perhaps to answer all three questions. Again, what were the questions? Number one, why is the Yom Tov called Purim? Pur was such a minor, insignificant detail of the story. Number two, why is it Al Mikra Megillah and not Megillas Esther? Why is Esther assumed to be the Megillah? And number three, what is this about Gan Eden and that people are supposed to be upside down in Gan Eden? So the Yisod is as follows. The point of all Moadim, of all Yom Tovim, is to develop and appreciate a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Purim is no different. We're supposed to, in every Yontif, provides us with a different type of opportunity to develop a Kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference is that on most Moadim, we are thankful for a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. What we would call an act of God. Kriyas Yamsuf, Eser Makos, Anone Akavod, Matan Torah, B'Kolos Uvrakim, an act of God. On Purim, there was no act of God. There was no miracle we can point to and say, oh, that was miraculous. It was just about a sequence of events that occurred, and each event was unremarkable in its own right. The fact that they all happened just how they happened, that was remarkable. The big secret about the Nes of Purim is that there was no Nes. It was Teva. The whole thing was Teva. The funny thing is, Hashem is always doing things for us. He provides us with air to breathe, food to eat. Why don't we think of Hashem every single time we take a breath? And there's a few reasons. Saw the mashal, it must be Rav Pinkus, I don't remember, but it sounds like Rav Pinkus because he always gives good mashals. Saw a mashal where he said it as follows. You ever go to someone's house? I was at someone's house last night for a meeting. So it was three people at the meeting, and they had three glasses and a pitcher of water and a cake, a plate with some cake on it. Now, this meeting happened to have been fairly early in the evening, but we almost had scheduled this meeting for 11 o'clock at night, where it would have gone till who knows when, let's say 1 in the morning. And I'm sure they would have had the same thing on the table. Now, I would imagine the people whose house I was in do not typically take out cake at 11 o'clock at night and start eating cake then at 11 o'clock at night. They took out a whole plate full of cake. Why did they take out the plate full of cake? It wasn't for themselves. It was for me, right? Because I was a guest. So for the guest, you honor the guest by taking out a piece of cake. Little did they know. But okay, you honor the guest by taking out a piece of cake. Now, so if they're taking out a piece of cake for the guest, how many pieces of cake should there be? There should be one. I'm only one person, right? So there should be, or maybe the other guest also. There's another guest. It's up two. But they had a whole plate full of cake. Why? Ostensibly so that they could have, I could have. But they're not eating. They don't eat in their house at 11 o'clock at night. They don't eat cake in their house at 11 o'clock at night. So why would they take out for themselves? They should take out one piece of cake, put it in front of me, and that would be it. Why do they do that? Because that's this little naim. And here, you know, you eat and I'm not. So the whole plate is a hechitimtza, so that one piece might end up in my mouth. The whole rest of it is all there, just to give me that one cookie, that one piece of cake. When Hashem gives us air to breathe, you see, we often look at it in the wrong way. We look at it like, Hashem put oxygen in the environment. Elamai, I'm here so I could be nana from the oxygen. No. Hashem is giving each of us individually oxygen. He's taking care of the life needs of each of us. Elamai, it's lo na'im to always feel that sense of overwhelming gratitude that look what he's doing just for me. He's taking out a piece of cake just for me. So what does he do? He takes out a whole cake platter. He fills an entire environment with oxygen. And all of a sudden, it doesn't feel like it's just for me anymore. But the reality is that it is. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of each and every one of us. He just masks it in nature to put oxygen everywhere. The idea of Purim and the Megillah in particular, Megillah is Milashon Megala. It's to be Megala, the true story. To reveal where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden in nature. On other Yom Tovim, we're raised above nature in coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We celebrate the supernatural. Hashem did a Kriyas Yamsuf, something overwhelming. We go to meet God on His turf, up in Shemayim, in a supernatural universe. On Purim, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our turf. We open our eyes a little bit and we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us. It's a much greater honor to find God visiting us on earth than to have to go up to visit Him up in heaven. A simple example from the second pasuk in the Megillah. Kishavas HaMelech HaChashverosh Al Kiseh Malchus HaAsher B'Shushan HaBira. Why would HaChashverosh set up shop in Shushan? Not in Bavel like every other king? Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, right? So why would HaChashverosh set up in Shushan? What's about Shushan? So the Medrash explains that HaChashverosh wanted a throne that looked like Shlomo HaMelech's throne. So he commissioned workers, artisans, in Paras to build it. But once they finished building it, it was too heavy to transport. They couldn't move it. So HaChashverosh built his malchus around it. He built his palace, his capital city. He built everything around that throne that he had made. Why? Why did all that happen? Because in Shushan, there happened to live a man, Ish Yehudi, there happened to be a Jew who had to be in proximity of the palace when all of this was going to go down. All of it was put in place so that Mordechai could be part of the story. Hashem carefully controls events down here in this world. His participation, Hashem's participation in events, sometimes barely perceptible. But on Purim, we're Megala, that role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's always here. We just don't always see it. On Purim, we're Megala, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there all the time. Acts of God on earth often happen through what is like a goral. A goral is the most natural of all events. Because you see, when you draw lots, someone's got to win. Right? If someone wins the lottery, they say, oh, it's a miracle! It's not a miracle at all. Somebody has to win. So somebody's going to win, eventually. Even Powerball, eventually somebody wins. It's not a miracle. It's the most natural thing in the world. Your chances aren't great, but it's the most natural thing in the world. It's not an act of God. Yet, when it comes to determining the chosen part of God's country for each segment of God's people, when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we have to decide who gets to live where. Who gets which chelik of Eretz Yisrael? So what do we use? Dafka agora to determine the Ratzon Hashem. When deciding which goat goes La Azazel and Yom HaKippurim, what do we use? Agora. When Yeshua catches Achan through agora, Achan's complaint is that agora isn't fair because somebody's name is going to have to be drawn. So you know that someone took the spoils of Yericho, so you put all the names into the hat. Well, someone's name is going to come out. So my name happened to be the name to come out. That doesn't prove anything. How does that show anything? Yeshua's response, Simna kvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Don't disrespect the Ribono Shel Olam. A goral is an act of God shrouded in nature. It's symbolic of the fact that even when things look completely natural, when things look totally unmiraculous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling everything. If we were to choose a Seir La'azazel, it would be Avodah Zarah. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu chooses it. It's a goral, so natural. Yeah, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu works through nature. We don't get to choose which part of Eretz Yisrael we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses it, and he works through natural means. So when we name the holiday, we name the holiday Purim, because the entire story is about God working through nature. It's about how the Shem Hashem doesn't appear explicitly in the Megillah, but it's the implicit message of the entire Megillah. And it's us for us to be Megala, the Shem Hashem in the Megillah. We call it Megillah because more than any other story in Tanakh, and more than any of the other Megillos, this story is Megala, that which is Nistar. It is the Megillah. And Gan Eden, people walk upside down. Because here on earth, we have our feet planted on the ground and we strive for our heads to reach to Shemayim, to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu on His level, up in Shemayim. In Gan Eden they realize that reaching the heavens is great. But you know what's even greater than reaching the heavens? To reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu on earth. To reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So the heads are on the facing down toward earth, because that's where it's at. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence can be found if we look for it. It's true all year round. Every time we take a breath, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us that breath. For us, specifically for us. Purim is the day that we take the time to focus on that message. We take the time to internalize that message. And it's so empowering to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just Bashamayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha can be felt in a very real way and can be seen through so many different events that occur. I'm sure you saw that email that was going around from the Dan's Deals guy, the Malaysia flight. Have you seen this? It went pretty viral. No, you didn't see it. The fellow who said to his travel agent, right? You heard about this? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Just the hashkacha. Nothing miraculous. Yeah, from guy says, I'm not comfortable booking a flight on Shabbos for a Jew. And the Jew says, okay, you made me feel guilty enough, I'll change it. But everything just falls into place. The hashkacha is remarkable. Kodesh Baruch Hu is always here. We just don't always see him. We don't always find him. On Purim, we're Megala. And that's why we read the Megillah.